May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 644. Watch, watch and be sober, ye children of God. Your wonderful lover has bought you with blood. Your husband and saviour for you gave his life. Then be your behaviour, becoming his wife. 644.
Thank you. us read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 41, commencing to read at verse 8 to verse 20. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt see them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Now please turn to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying, that ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am coming to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, that though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates and envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness, which they have committed. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Help us in prayer. Kind, merciful, gracious Lord God. Once again, dear Lord, little company of poor sinners are found gathered together in this house of God this evening hour. And dear Lord Jesus, we pray, we ask that thou would also come and gather with us and indeed make thy presence known and felt. Lord Jesus, we seek thy help. Lord, we come and we would indeed be found like dear Mary, sitting at thy feet to hear thy word. Oh, then do open our hearts and our ears to hear the word of truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, dear Lord Jesus, that thou wilt come and meet with us and abundantly bless us indeed. Dear Lord, then do help us now. Lord Jesus, we plead for thee to come and make the place of thy feet glorious this evening hour. Lord Jesus, thou didst promise, if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. Dear Lord, thou art now in heaven, in glory, sitting there at the right hand of the Father, there to make intercession for us, with cries and groans which cannot be uttered. Could it please thee, just come and send the power of the Holy Spirit into our midst this evening hour. We read, Lord, it was noise that Jesus was in the house, in the place. And we ask, Lord, that it may be so here this evening hour, that there may be a solemn awe upon our spirits. It may be, Lord, coveting earnestly the best gifts, or and thy blessed presence to be here. Lord, that thou wilt lift up the light of thy countenance and give us peace. And give and grant to us, Lord, those riches of thy grace and thy love and mercy. Thou knowest, Lord, how many have come tonight seeking a portion for their souls. But those that have come crying, as the publican did, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Those that have been like the dear woman, and if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I should be made whole. Those who would come weeping and washing thy feet with tears and wiping with the hairs of their head. Dear Lord, do hear them prayer. Oh Lord, we do pray thou would come, Lord, and meet with us and bless us. Lord, we read what the Pharisees said. Lord, they said it in derision. But Lord, it was indeed blessedly true. That he'd gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And our Lord, we pray, thou wilt come and be our guest here this evening hour, and that we indeed may sit at thy feet and hear thy word. Lord Jesus, do come and do open then the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us here this evening hour, and meet with us and bless us indeed. Oh, dear Jabez prayed for an indeed blessing. And thou knowest how many here tonight want, pray and seek for an indeed blessing. That blessing of God that makes rich, adding no sorrow therewith. Then, Lord Jesus, do come and do graciously help. We confess all our sin and iniquity and guilt, Lord, before thee. We are sinners, dear Lord, and that needs no proof. We sorely feel the pull that we come, pleading the name, the blood, the righteousness, and the finished work of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt cleanse us from all our sin and all our guilt and all our transgressions. Oh, we're thankful to read in thy word that in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Dear Lord, oh, that we may be found amongst those of the household of David, those inhabitants of Jerusalem. to be found numbered with them, may I be now and throughout eternity. And oh, one says, plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. And Lord, thou knowest, some of us feel, Lord, to need that plunging, to need, Lord, that cleansing. Oh, Lord, thou knowest that we are defiled throughout by sin and by our very birth unclean. But Lord Jesus, we come to thee, we look to thee, because, dear Lord Jesus, thou hast said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And thou hast promised to cast none out. Them that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Then may we come, Lord, even though we have large catalogues of sin and iniquity, may we come to thee and plead the name and blood that does for sin atone, the blood whereby the church of God is freed. Lord Jesus, do hear our prayer. Do help us. Be with us. Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless our souls abundantly. We do beseech thee. Hear then our prayers. We do pray once again, dear Lord, for this middle cause of truth, and do bless them together and bind them together, Lord, in love and unity and the bond of peace. And we pray that thou wilt be very near unto each and all. We think of our friends here that hold office. They need thy help, Lord. And Lord, we pray for each church member and each non-church member. Lord, we would leave none out. We do pray that thou wilt graciously work in their hearts, bless their souls. Oh, and do feed them with the bread of heaven, with the water of life. May they often have something to take home, like Ruth, a handful of purpose, something to beat out, something to lay before thee, something to plead with thee. Lord, and do bless their souls. And then, Lord, there's the dear children. Lord, there's those that were able to come to the Sunday school this afternoon. And there are those, Lord, that are too little even to come to the Sunday school. And they're probably all now tucked up in their beds and cots. We pray, Lord, that thou remember them. They've got a never-dying soul. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember them each and bless them. Oh, that they may have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. They may be amongst those, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. May they be found early seekers and finders of the good grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, don't leave any of them out. Oh, that each may be found beneath thy sheltering blood, Lord Jesus. Their names found recorded in some humble place beneath the Saviour's blood. Hear our prayer. Do remember them. Help them, keep them, preserve them, watch over them, particularly at school. Keep them, Lord, there from the evil influences that abound, both in the playground and in the classroom. Lord, be near them. Be round about them, Lord, and do help them. Oh, may they be helped to resist the adversary, and so that may humbly say in days to come, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Then, Lord, do keep them from evil. Hear us then in these things. We do pray for those connected here, Lord, in old age, infirmity, and weakness of the flesh. Be very near to them. Be gracious. Lift up the light of thy countenance. Draw near. Bless their souls abundantly with thy loving kindness and thy tender mercy. And be with each and all, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for others. Here and there, Lord. Lord, in this little collection of churches which we're associated with, we do pray the outpouring of thy Spirit, that strengthen the things that remain. Oh, Lord, thou knowest, sadly, we see in so many places such a diminishing. Lord, But we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt strengthen and thou wilt build up. Oh, may we humbly plead with thee to pluck out that right hand out of thy bosom and work salvation in our midst, that thy name is honoured and glorified. Lord, as often said, we think this chapel, that chapel, can't go on. It'll have to close. But dear Lord, we do pray thou appear. Lord, what's going to become of thy great name if these little chapels and churches are brought to a close? Lord, do appear. Do appear, Lord, for thine own great name's sake, thine honour and glory and praise. Lord, this hand do cause the prodigals to return. Those who have left and forsaken the house of God, bring them back. Snatch them as brands from the burning. Make them trophies of grace. And Lord, and many of our fellow countrymen also, that never darken the doors of any church, any chapel. Oh, we do pray thou wilt grant a blessed awakening. Lord, and there may be an outpouring of thy Spirit. Well, it was so on the day of Pentecost. And Lord, and we feel very often that we need a Pentecostal revival in this our day. Lord, do grant it for thine own great name's sake, for thine honour, glory and praise. So that, Lord, instead of pulling chapels down, Lord, there is an erection of chapels to thine honour and glory and praise. Then do hear us, do help us. Lord, we do pray thou wilt help us to pray for others in sickness and affliction's path. Put thy hand and heal, restore, grant strength equal to the day. And Lord, and we pray for the bereaved, comfort their hearts, and support them and be with the widows and the widowers. And those that lost near and dear ones, whether it be mother or father, brother, sister or child, undertake for each and all, we pray. Abundantly bless. Lord, be with those in deep trials and troubles and exercises before thee. Those that have those seeming impossibilities. But Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. And oh, if it can be thy heavenly will, do make thy goodness pass before them in the way. And be near, Lord Jesus, we beseech thee. Then do help, Lord. We do pray thou wilt remember those then in darkness and distress. Do appear. Lord, do cause the light of thy countenance upon them. Give them peace. Pray for our country, our leaders, work in their hearts, bless their souls, and plant thy fear in their heart. Be with others in the world, and those that are persecuted, others in famine and death and disease, war, bloodshed, bring peace in this world. Lord, we do thank thee for all the kindness and mercy and goodness to us. Our daily needs so abundantly supplied, our health and strength, the roof over our heads, the beds to lie on, many comforts, Lord, we have, many mercies. We would not let these lie forgotten in unthankfulness and yet without praises die. Lord, do help us. Oh, Lord, help us through this service. And then, Lord, the service to follow, that ordinance, dear Lord, that thou hast commanded that we should keep this do in remembrance of me. Be with, Lord, those who are unable to gather round thy table. And Lord, and any that may stay and look on, and pray maybe others that feel they cannot stay and look on, dear Lord, do give them to know that this ordinance is not for saints, that it is for sinners, which includes them. Then, dear Lord, do bless them indeed. Hear our poor prayers and do help us now. Lord, we're only a poor man. Lord, we have to say this time and time again, Lord, because we honestly fail to be just that. Lord, but we do ask that thou wilt come once more. fulfill thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And do come. Oh, touch one's lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. Lord, as we plead, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 587. Come, whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend, sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. 587.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask your very prayerful attention to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the first part of verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Dear Apostle Paul here, we notice first of all the blessed humility, this grace of humility that he sets forth here, describing what he had seen. He says, I knew a man. He didn't say it was himself. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Yes, I knew such a man. Whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. Nay, but how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He undoubtedly had some wonderful, blessed revelations of the dear Lord of life and glory. As dear John did indeed on the Isle of Patmos. John saw there heaven open. He saw the Lamb of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. He saw him that had the book, and he took the book, that the book was taken out of his hand and was given to the lion of the tribe of Judah to open the book. But here we're not told. Paul doesn't tell us what it was he saw. But he saw abundant revelations. Where and what, where the experience of it was. But yes, and sometimes God's dear people, they are very highly favoured. They have some revelation. Revelation of something to come. And very often that is also a forerunner, yes, of someone being called away from time into eternity. Yes, there's a gracious anointing. We read, do we not, about the dear Lord Jesus and why there was that dear woman that anointed that alabaster box of ointment that was poured forth, and the odour filled the house. Oh, that it may be so here tonight, the odour of the alabaster box that might be poured forth, and that Christ may be anointed in the hearts of one and another here this evening hour to his honour, glory and praise. Jesus said then, when criticised, when this woman was criticised, leave her alone. Against the day of my burial has she done this. And sometimes God's people, yes, are graciously anointed for the day of their burial. Yes. I indeed knew one dear soul many years ago now, before ever I went to preach. Why, she was in the home at Croydon Bethesda, and she called for help in the night. And there she spoke to the matron there at the time on how there was, you know, the matron didn't mind being called up at that time of the night. Why, there was such a blessed Spirit of Christ in that room, and she felt she would be Yes, in glory. She said, will he leave me? No, he didn't leave her. But she didn't die then. No, it was 2 or 3 years later before she actually passed away, but she had a gracious anointing. Things that sometimes are too deep for us to speak about. So rich, things of grace, wonderful revelations. You know, think of dear Jacob, wasn't it? There he was. He'd laid down that night for stones for his pillow. And there he had a vision. A vision given him from heaven, given him by the Lord. And the dear man, why, he saw this ladder, did he not? And the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And he had this blessed promise given as well. Behold, I am with thee. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob waked out of his sleep. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. You know, and it leads me to think of the dear man here in the Gospel of Luke. Why, dear Simeon, why, you know, it had been revealed unto him that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. Christ is born. 8 days Jesus is brought into the temple to do for us to the custom of the law. But it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eye, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yes, dear soul, favoured, blessed indeed. Yes, as Paul says in Philippians, is it not, that to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, you know, dear soul, I cannot help but think of the hymn, when this poor lisp in stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing to him that died to save. Yes, to sing, join in that holy, happy chorus, to be where congregations ne'er break up, where Sabbaths have no end. You know, you can go back here as well, dear soul, to the Song of Solomon. And what do you read there about the Church of God? Why, dear soul, it's this, is it not? It's my beloved. Yes, it's the voice of my beloved. Behold, he came leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing of birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. What are these things set for? Why, dear soul, they set forth the very thing that is going on around us now, the spring. Why, we see the flowers appearing on the earth. We hear the singing of the birds is come. Ah, yes. Early in the morning, before it's even light, yes, you hear the sigh, the sound of the birds singing. Yes, ah, it is. Oh. And say, it's this resurrection power for the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Yes, well, these very deep things. But how deep it was. What Paul was led to see, we're not told. But oh, these are just a few things, few simple thoughts on the fringe of this great subject that's here before us tonight. Paul, he had these things, these blessings. But then, why, it reads like this, does it not? Lest, and though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Yes, and sometimes the dear children of God, why, go back there a moment. Dear Jacob, what a blessing he had that this is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven. Yes, a favoured man, blessed abundantly. Sweet assurance that this was the gate of heaven and that God was there. But here's all. He was certainly given a thorn in the flesh, was he not? His faith was certainly sought, tried. Yes, grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. There was a thorn in the flesh. I'm not much of a gardener, but I only know basically about roses. Thought the thorns that they have, why did they prick into you? They hurt. And you say, this hurt. And I don't know where one another are tonight, but you say, have you got a thorn in the flesh? We're not told what this might be. And we won't start thinking it's this or that or something else. It was a thorn in the flesh. It was something that was painful. Yes, and some of God's people, whilst they've had some wondrous works of God, and now the Lord has mercifully appeared to them, abundantly blessed them indeed, yet they've come here. They've got this thorn in the flesh. Why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue a worm to death? Yes. Thorn in the flesh. And again, you see, the thorn then, it hurts. And it's painful. Yes. Why through darksome paths we go? We may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know each in his due season. Given to me a thorn in the flesh. My mind has just gone to dear Peter. You know, Peter was a very favoured disciple, was he not? Why, when asked by the dear Lord Jesus, will ye also go away? Lord, whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. On another occasion, whom do men say that I am? And then, and who do you say that I am? And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to Peter? "Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven." Now, this is where Peter is, favoured man of God, being revealed to him by God the Father in heaven, that this man was the God-man, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he that should come into the world to seek and to save sinners. He was the Messiah, he was the Christ, the messenger of the covenant. But, you know, poor Peter had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? You say, he denied, didn't he, his Lord and his Master. And yes, it was a thorn in the flesh. The Lord told him it would be so. Yes. Satan hath desired to have thee, they may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But oh, friend, yes, it is a very painful lesson, yes, for poor people. For poor Peter to learn. And some of us maybe have had some painful lessons to learn. Even as the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee to sift thee as wheat. Perhaps, dear soul, you thought that didn't apply to you. It only applied to Peter. But you found out different sins, haven't you? You've sinned, you've stumbled, you've fallen. Yes. And it's been a thorn in the flesh. Yes. Yes, all and other things. Yes, afflictions come. A thorn in the flesh. You know, very often, why? When afflictions come, we might think, well, if only I could get better, if only I could be healed, if only the Lord would hear my poor prayers and heal me, I could serve him a lot better than I do. I would be more able, I'd be more free and more capable. No, you wouldn't, dear soul. Say, it's this, is it not, in a nutshell, so to speak, thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. I've often said, and I may have said it here before, but I believe it bears repeating, and that is, the Lord knows just how to keep you and I on our knees. If the Lord took you out of that affliction, if the Lord took you out of that trial, that trouble, that difficulty, I wonder if you and I would go to the throne of grace so much, if at all. No, but because that affliction is there, because that is there, then we do have to go to the throne of grace. We do have to go to the Lord and ask his help. That help that cometh from above. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The dear Lord said again to Peter, wasn't it? He was washing the disciples' feet. Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord. Except I wash thee not, there is no part or lot with me." Peter sees need immediately. But the Lord said this, didn't he? "What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." This, oh, Yes, you may have the thorn in the flesh tonight. Whatever that thorn may constitute, I leave. But dear soul, there is a blessed afterward. What I do now, thou knowest. What I do, what the Lord does, what the Lord allows, brings you and I into. What I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Yes, it's all when he unrolls that canvas, then you and I will see why there were those golden threads, and why those dark threads, why they were so needful in the weaver's eye. Blessed be his name. Yes, all. What does the dear hymn writer say there in hymn number 7? Though sore afflictions on me lie, yes, though I am blind, too wise to be mistaken, oh, too good to be unkind. When sore afflictions on me lie, yes, though I am blind, yes, and we are blind very often, aren't we? We don't see. No, but, you know, this old he knows the end from the beginning. You and I only know the beginning till now. And we don't always grasp that, do we? No. But he knows. And he's too wise. Too wise to be unkind. You think of that. You just take that home. Think about that and meditate that. In your troubles, trials and sorrows and difficulties, that he's too good to be unkind. What was that hymn this morning? He makes all his goodness pass before us in the way. But then again, this here. Why, yes, there's something else here, isn't it? You see, there's the messenger of Satan. To buffet me. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Dear soul, are you tempted like this? You know, you think of dear Job. That man that we read of there in the first chapter of Job. A man that feared God and eschewed evil. Yeah. But, oh, you know, the divine mysteries of godliness. Job, what I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. You say, why, it was there, wasn't it? You see, as it reads there, that there was the children, the brothers and the sisters, all gathered together in the eldest brother's house. And why, and what is it? Satan. Ah. Yes, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them also. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect man, upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan says, unto the Lord, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made hedge about him, and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said, behold, he, all that he hath, is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The Lord permitted, allowed Satan to tempt Job, to try Job. And you read the book, and oh, what the dear man walked and passed through. Yes, wife and myself have been reading this book of late. Why, the things that he went through. Why, and the adversary brought that potsherd there for to scrape himself. And it appeared that he's got boils. Well, one would hardly think a potsherd would be the thing to relieve boils, would it? It wasn't. Yes. But, you say, the Lord allowed it. Oh, the mysterious works of God. But what Job said, there in the middle of the book, chapter 23, where he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yes, gold in the furnace tried, ne'er loses aught but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Then you go to the end of the book, and yes, and the Lord appears to Job. The Lord blesses Job. More in his last days than ever before. Too wise. To err and oh, too good to be unkind. So, yes, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Perhaps, dear soul, you're tempted on this score by the adversary. Yes, you hope the Lord has blessed you in some particular way or manner. Yes. Maybe you're like Job. You're not there now. You've got this thorn in the flesh. And you've certainly got this messenger of Satan to buffet. And he says, if you were a child of God, if you were one of the Lord's people, this wouldn't happen to you. But dear soul, the devil always has been a liar, and he hasn't changed. As one dear man said to me, he's had 6,000 years approximately in practice of it. Yes, he hasn't changed. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. But then there's this. But this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Yeah. Here, my friends, is where grace is sorely tried. Yeah. You know, this old says, yes, the Lord knows how to keep you and I on our knees. And the Lord, this old, is faithful to his word. The Lord says, in the book of Psalms in particular, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. Again, Isaiah, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And Paul writes, does he not, in Hebrews about coming boldly to the throne of grace, you might find grace to help in time of need. But dear soul, God is faithful. He will indeed hear and answer your prayers and mine, but it will be in his way and not yours and nor mine. It'll be according to his heavenly mind and will. Say, his heavenly mind and will here was, yes, that he answered Paul's prayer. He answered Paul's prayer. He besought the Lord thrice for this thorn to be depart from him. And perhaps to your soul, you've asked the Lord for something to depart from you. Oh, yes, that the Lord will make his goodness pass before you in some particular way. But dear soul, the Lord is not going to be dictated to by you and yet me. No. But his all, he will answer. But here it is all he gave to the dear apostle, this blessed promise. Yes. He answered him, my grace is sufficient for thee, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear soul, you with your trial, difficulty, sorrow, affliction, burden, yes, it is, my grace shall be sufficient for thee. What did we read there a moment ago in Isaiah's prophecy? Why, it was this, was it not, dear soul? Yes, the Lord says. Ah, yes, let's make sure this. Why, here in 41, see, verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Yes, dear soul, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. My grace is sufficient for thee. And then he says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Why, dear soul, what more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? For I am with thee. He goes on. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. Again, what more can he say? I am thy God. My grace is sufficient for thee. Ah, yes, it is. You and I, we wanted that thorn removed. We wanted to come out of this trouble. We wanted to come out of this trial, this great conflict that we have. But my grace is sufficient for thee. And this grace that's given. Yes, he's saying, the Lord gave you and I a promise, as he did, dear Paul. Give you and I that promise. Yes, my grace sufficient for thee. Or this here that we're referring to in Isaiah 41. Why, you go down here, verse 13. For I, the Lord, will. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Dear soul, yes. The Lord says, hold thy right hand, and He takes hold of the hand of a poor, devil-hunted, dragged sinner, and he takes hold of his hand, yes, and saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Why, what else does the Lord say back here in the 30th chapter of this prophecy? Why, it is all. This, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes, dear soul, he will hold thy right hand. He will hold thy right hand. You know, one thinks of the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, blessed be his. My grace is sufficient for thee. Ah, yes, dear soul. Again, dear Jacob, why, when his brother was coming to meet him, what is it he says to us here? Left on sacred record, dear soul, for your encouragement and mine. Why, he got a thorn in the flesh, hadn't he? He wanted this thorn removed. Yes, Esau's coming to meet him, 400 men. He fears the worst. Perhaps you fear the worst tonight, poor soul. Yes, but you know, Jacob, yes, what did he do? He went to prayer. He went to prayer. And he spread the whole matter out before the Lord here in just a few verses. And he said to God, and God of my father, God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country, thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. With my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, the hand of Esau, for I fear him, as he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou, Lord, saidst, I will surely do thee good. Lord, it looks the very opposite. It looks as though Esau's coming to get me at last. And I fear for my own life. I fear the life of my children, my wives. And make thy seed the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. It all looks, Lord, if it's going down to the ditch, going down to the drain, never to be remembered no more. Yes, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Yes, you know, this point here, dear Jacob said this, but with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Well, Jacob was, yes, the keeper of cattle, was he not? And sheep. Well, we all know what that shepherd's crook looks like. But he got his staff. But, dear soul, he got a promise, hadn't he? We referred to it a moment ago. And the Lord said, I will bring thee, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again unto this land, or not lead until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. He got a promise. He was leaning on this promise. Dear soul, have you got a promise? A promise given to you by God. Sealed home into your heart. In these promises of God, dear soul, why, they're very, very special. And, dear soul, you know, I've said this before, but, you know, they're not like the free newspapers that come through the letterbox. No. But, you say, they are free, but, dear soul, they're not so frequent as those that come through every day. No. Dear soul, you and I be a favoured soul if we have one of these blessed promises sealed home by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, into your heart and soul once in your lifetime. Yes, dear soul, this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that may we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, dear Jacob, yes, you go on. Why, he spends that night in prayer, resting there with the angel. Yes. We'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Yes. Yes. And, you know, and how the Lord appears. Yes. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes. Jacob assembles a present, but what is that going to do? Nothing. Yes, this, we're not to lean on our own understanding. This, we're not to think we can manage our affairs. Jacob did this to appease the wrath of his brother. But this, what appeased the wrath of his brother? This wrestling prayer. Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. And those iron bars and brazen gates, dears, are around your heart and mine. Yes, they are. Yes. It is then we cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and he delivers us out of our distresses. Is there any makes his goodness pass before us in the way? Is then we cry to his honour, glory and praise that he hath done all things well. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jacob again, his weakness. Why? He hasn't got anything, has he? No, but his brother's got 400 men. But you know, the prayer, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember that. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it rained not. And he prayed again, and it rained. Yes. Yes, dear souls, prayer's the weapon of the feeble, and weakest souls can wield it best. You try it, dear soul. You may feel yourself so weak, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, and to say that the Lord hath heard my prayer. Poor though I am, despised, forgot, yet Jesus my Lord forgets me not. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, I've only really just started. But dear soul, you see, there's the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Yes, dear soul, you just think of this, dear soul, that he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Well, for the poor sinners. Yes, he was humbled. He laid by his glory. He came to this earth. The grace. Yes, grace sufficient. Again, you know, there are those things that you and I may feel that we are totally unequipped and unqualified for. But, you know, this whole in and of yourself, we are totally unequipped and unqualified. But it's my grace is sufficient for thee. What is it the dear apostle says to us here in the opening chapter of the first epistle? Why, he says this, but because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty are called, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, to confound the weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised at God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's the reason for it all, dear soul. Yes. My grace is sufficient for thee. Yes. Sometimes have to walk a humble path, but it is that his grace may abound, that it may be seen, dear soul, that it is he and not us. Yes, it's my, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So that we can truly say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Well, I should have to leave it. I feel I've only just really started. There's such a depth here in this, my grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord help you when you go home, yes, to sit down and quietly think and meditate of his grace, which is sufficient. Ah, yes, dear soul, you say you're insufficient, but it's, dear soul, it's not what you say, it's what he has said. Dear soul, and if he intends you, if the Lord desires you to do something in his worthy name, it's all, you'll prove this, that it's his grace that is sufficient and not your own. You see, those words and the hymn's just gone from my mind, but nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. To be nothing in and of ourselves and everything in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I leave it. Lord, add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £745, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who also hopes to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach and address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 145. Christ exalted is our song, hymned by all the blood-bought throng. To his throne our shout shall rise, God with us by sacred ties. 145.
dear Lord. We do humbly pray thou wilt cover all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our attempts to worship thee here in this thy house this day. Lord, and do graciously own and bless that which has been right. Lord, thy word declares that thy word shall not return to thee void. Lord, then, may there be those signs and evidences that has been thy word and thy name, and thy name alone shall have all the honour, all the glory, and all the praise. Now meet with us round thy table, and now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion and the Holy Spirit be with us each now and always. Amen.